Welcome back to Finding the Edge podcast. I'm Garrett Boyum, joined with Robert Fry.
Yeah, and today we have on Sam Borenstein, who just finished at the University of Iowa and was the head student manager for the University of Iowa baseball team. And we're going to get into talking about his journey as a student manager, what he learned through it, and how we can best optimize the data points that we're collecting and how it can best optimize your college program in terms of player development.
I hope you guys enjoy our conversation with Sam Borenstein. Let's begin.
Analyzing. Finding the edge.
Sam, welcome onto the show. I guess one of the first things I want to ask you is, you know, what kind of walk us through like your, what you got, how you got to where you are, your current, current role maybe, and kind of what your years in college were like.
Yeah. So I just graduated this weekend from the University of Iowa. I got a bachelor's degree in business analytics, and I worked 4 years as a student manager with the baseball program there. And I think I was really fortunate to join when I did because it was beginning of something really special, sort of like the new era of college baseball analytics. But I'd say the first 2 years, from an analytical standpoint, I didn't contribute a whole lot to the program. I was one of the managers that would come to practice every day. I would help set up. I'd play catch, feed machines and stuff like that. I didn't really start learning to code until my sophomore year, beginning of my junior year, and then from there, I was learning as much as I could, whether it was with player development topics, research topics, or just advancing my technical skill set. My junior year, I felt like I was starting to make an impact in the program. This is my the second semester. My junior year was the first semester I was focused entirely on analytics. I started reorganizing how our data was collected, how it was stored and analyzed. And then my senior year is when I really started to see the analytics start to get tied into our player development pipeline. Between my junior and senior year, I created an R Shiny app. It's called Hawk Dashboard. And that's kind of what set myself up for that senior year. And I guess where I am now, when my plans have kind of changed, I was set to work at the White Sox in minor league player development as an intern. And things have changed due to what's going on. But now I started this week with Baseball Cloud as a research and development intern. And that's kind of where I am now.
Awesome. Awesome. So, yeah, going back to what you mentioned earlier, can you kind of walk us through kind of that prospect or idea behind the Hawk dashboard that you created?
Yeah. So it took me a couple months to put together. So I spent the entire summer last year working on that, and I didn't publish a first version of it until the first week of school in the fall. And from there, it just kind of kept growing, adapting to what our coaches might need or what I see fit. And it's been huge for assisting our player development process. I think the biggest feature of it is the post-action report page, and that's for pitchers with TrackMan, hitters with TrackMan, and then there's Rapsodo reports, there's catcher reports, there's umpire reports. Pretty much all those pages have auto-generated reports that take maybe 5 to 10 seconds. And it's really helped our players. I think they're really hungry for that information. So after a game, they might be waiting outside the manager office or one of the coaches' office, just waiting for the post-game report. And then once we have those reports printed out, we keep them in a binder for each of the pitchers so they can use them for reference. So say it's their Rapsodo report, and they can have those in the bullpen with them, whether it was the one from the day before or one from the previous week. They can use those for reference and sort of see how they've been trending with some of their pitches. And I think this speaks to how great some of our players are, being as bought in as a coaching staff and as bought in as the manager staff is. And, you know, when all three parties are clicking at once, there's no limit to what we can't do.
What are the players doing with those reports? How is it impacting kind of either what they're doing in practice or what do they walk away with from those reports? What kind of information is on those reports and what really connects with players of the information that's actually on that report?
Yeah, I think each player is sort of focused on one part of the report. They each have their own ways of going about their development. But I think it's really important that our coaching staff has been so bought into this process that they can sort of point these players to what they should be paying attention to. So say we have a pitcher who is naturally cutting his fastball and it's something he's trying to work away from. So he'll immediately go to the short form movement block to see how his fastball was that bullpen. Or he'll go to the data table to see what his average spin efficiency was. So I think these reports are really useful for those that can use the information visually with the visuals that I create. But then there's some that just like the plain numbers, like, all right, what's my number? I think it works on both ends there.
Then how does from your end, how would you kind of effectively communicate that message between those different channels, not only to the players, but maybe even to a coaching staff during your time?
I think we're all on the same language, on the same page there, and it's kind of what we've been fortunate with. There hasn't been too much struggle on that front, but I think that the coaching staff, or I guess the pitching coach in general, if we're talking about pitching, we all know what a pitcher should be working on. And I left these gaps in the reports for players to write in some comments, whether it was the player writing the comments or the coach or a manager writing the comments in. It wasn't used too much in the fall and the winter, but I think moving forward, it's something we need to utilize more. So maybe it was the goal for a certain bullpen. Or whether it's comments afterwards. But as for communicating that to one of the players, I think that they're really bought into the process, and it's made it much easier on our end and on our pitching coach's end. And just to know what their plan is going into that bullpen, our pitching coach has done a great job of that.
What did you kind of feel like you wanted to get out of being a student manager during your first year? And then kind of what do you feel that you actually got out of it when you just finished?
I think my first year is pretty unique. I was probably like the average college student. I was adapting to my new life, making some new friends. And then I was coming to the baseball field every single day. I would bus from my dorm or bus from class across campus. And I look forward to it each day. I think that my first year, I didn't get too involved with the technical side of the game. And I think that's something I regret 3 years later, that I should have gotten more involved with it sooner. But I think it was pretty cool to come to practice each day and talk to the players, talk to the coaches, just learn more about the game of baseball, play catch with the pitcher, feed a machine to some of the hitters. And it's a pretty unique experience.
Yeah. And so then I guess the next question would be what did you do a little bit in the last year and a half or so that was something that you found valuable to not only yourself in kind of career development, but to the players as well?
I think for myself with career development, it was learning from our new managers. We hired 3 data analysts going into the fall, and I think a lot of them brought their own unique skill set to the table. And I learned a lot from each of them, and I'm continuing to learn a lot from each of them. They're all really good at what they do. As for the players, I think my fourth year at the program, I got to know them better, being at practice and just talking to them more, talking about some of their development and just learning more from them. I mean, I've always played baseball growing up, but these athletes are the best of the best in college baseball. And you can learn a lot from them.
How much did kind of, you know, when you first started at Iowa 4 years ago, what was the tech like? And then when you just finished, you know, how much did that differ? How much was that more involved? And how much was it kind of brought in by the coaching staff?
I think first off, it was all brought in by the coaching staff, and we're really fortunate they were so bought into that. My first year back in 2016, 2017 season, I think all we had was TrackMan and HitTrax. And then we sort of slowly brought in Rapsodo. We brought in Blast Motion sensors, and we were also bringing in Modus sleeves. So I think throughout my 4 years, the one constant was that technology. the coaching staff, same head coach all 4 years, Rick Heller. But the assistant coaches, they kind of they changed throughout the years. A lot of pro teams kept hiring away from our staff. And I think that can be tough for a college team in the short term, but I think it largely benefits them in the long run. There's a reason these pro teams are coming after these coaches, and it proves what they've been able to do when they held their positions. The technology, it's always been there, whether it was brought in that first year or slowly crept in that those next couple of years. We're very fortunate for the coaching staff to be really invested in that and always looking for new technology to bring in.
What are some interesting questions that you've been able to investigate what kinds of interesting questions have you been able to investigate through an analytical lens being at Iowa and having potentially the data set and the access to the data that you do?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I don't know how many programs had TrackMan back in 2016, but I think having 4 years worth of TrackMan data is a lot. I think that can really help not only with the development of our players, but sort of like the strategies of baseball itself and, you know, some baseball research topics. So we have that information, and we've also got 2 years of TrackMan sharing data so we can download data from all across the country. And we have this immense database of, I want to say, over 300,000 pitches. Anywhere on that front, we've been able to dive into. And I think a lot of our analyses are with TrackMan data. We've been trying to dive into how to compare TrackMan movement numbers to Rapsodo movement numbers and how it differs, and how we can translate that information from in-game to off the field in a bullpen. Say a pitcher is getting 18 inches of lift with his fastball in-game, but with Rapsodo he's only getting 12. So what's that real number? It's probably not that much of a difference, but sort of being able to adjust for the difference in the technology. I think that's something on the pitching side. And then on the hitting side, I think it's been pretty cool. We've been able to merge our hit tracks and blast databases, sort of get bad ball metrics on those swing metrics. And I think we have a few thousand data points there, and that can lead to some pretty cool projects.
Yeah, and so that kind of leads into a lot of really good thought where, we talk about that most college programs really can't afford to do this and get that data validation. And so my question is, how much did that process of data validation, being able to pair TrackMan with Rapsodo, hit tracks and blast, so on and so forth, how much was that able to benefit yourself into being able to communicate this is the correct data rather than saying, oh, this is the data because this is what we have, but it may not be correct because, this is the only piece of gadgetry that we have.
Yeah, we've definitely had a few projects that were sort of validating each data set that we have. And I think at the end of the day, it's just we're not trying to figure out who we trust most. It's, all right, how do we deal with what we've got and sort of make those adjustments? So if there is a difference between TrackMan and Rapsodo's movement numbers, or maybe it's velocity or spin rate, how can we translate those to sort of have that universal number? And I don't think we've been able to complete that project quite yet. I don't know if a lot of teams across the country have been able to. It's sort of a difficult process. But as long as there's context and the numbers to the coaching staff or the players, and that it's they're aware of the differences, I think that things will be okay.
Yeah, awesome. Kind of walk me through during your 4 years how you developed as a person using kind of this tech and analytics, but not only yourself, but kind of pinpoint maybe a player or maybe a coach that was there pretty much the same time as you were, and how they developed with these kind of numbers.
I think the first player that comes to mind is Cole McDonald. He's one of our pitchers. He graduated last year. He's now in the Houston Astros organization, but my 3 years with him were awesome. He was most first-class person. He was a role model for the program, and he was always thanking the managers for everything they've done And he was definitely on board with the analytics and everything that we were able to do with them. So he definitely developed me, not only as a person, but as an analyst. But as for myself, in my 4 years at Iowa, I think I lit this out in a presentation I gave a couple days ago. I chose a word for each year. Yeah, so my freshman year, I chose the word foundation. Like I was saying earlier, I was laying a foundation for myself in the game of baseball, in the game of college baseball, just learning the ins and outs of how a college program works. I was going to practice each day, learning more about baseball. And then my sophomore year, it was an experimentation. I was experimenting, learning some more code, learning the other side of the game, more on the technical side or the analytical side. My junior year was my realization that, you know, my future in the game of baseball wasn't anywhere near the field. It was in front of a computer. And then my senior year was implementation. This is when I really started to have an impact in the program as a data analyst, implementing a bunch of procedures I've been working on, sort of revamping how our program digested the analytics into the player development pipeline.
So on that, how, if you were to start from scratch and get to build your own analytics program in or just a support staff at the collegiate level, how would you go about doing that, building that from the ground up?
As for a staff, I think that you have to split yourself into four departments for student managers. And I know you guys had Jake Stone on a couple months ago, and he definitely talked about how he did that. And a lot of it's the same in Iowa and how we go about that process, sort of what's everyone's strength and how can we get the most out of them. So even within departments, but as for building an analytical staff, I think you just got to start with what you got. What technology do we have? Are there any students on campus that want to come and help out? And then once you have those people on your staff, you just got to realize what their strengths are, sort of put the projects on them that they're going to succeed in the most, and then just go from there.
Awesome. Yeah. Kind of walk me through when Driveline came to Iowa, and kind of talk to me about that experience, what it was like, and how kind of it not only benefited yourself, but benefited the Iowa baseball program.
Oh, it was an eye-opening experience. I'll be the first to admit that I skipped class those 2 days just to hang out more with the guys and sort of see what was going on. I think the players benefited the most to have that biomechanics information that we aren't capable of collecting from them. Sort of see some inefficiencies in their movements, have that pitch design work done on them. And I think, you know, not only the players, but the coaching staff, they learned a lot. And I learned a ton. I was able to pick the minds of four Driveline workers for two straight days. I felt like I was annoying them with questions, but at the end of the day, they were really respectful. They were talking to me as much as I was talking to them, and you know, it was an incredible experience. And it was pretty unique. It was the first or second week of school, and we had a lot of new managers brought in. And I went to tell them, like, hey, this is not normal. This doesn't happen every day. Soak up everything you got here.
Really cool stuff, yeah. Because, you know, it's Driveline during that time wasn't really kind of going out to college programs as much as they were. So,
what year was that, Sam? That they had come out?
That was this past fall. I think we were one of the first programs they went to. I know that the following week. Or maybe there's 2 weeks after they went to a different Big Ten school. But yeah, it was something new, and they brought all their biomechanics equipment. I want to say it was Mocha. And then we had Joe Marsh. He is their director of research and development. Mm-hmm. He was handling the biomechanics stuff. And then there was Bill Hezel and Rob Hill for the pitch design and working with the pitchers. And then Dan Adams, I don't know his exact position, but he works with strength and conditioning. And he was doing assessments with the players after they throw. So it was pretty unique. It's awesome.
How has, if we're just looking at pitching specifically for a moment, how has over the years, you were there 4 years, right?
Yeah.
How had the development of the players changed, like their approach to developing pitchers? What changes did you see, or what was the evolution of that? You know, was it very similar to when you started, or had it kind of evolved over the years in terms of how Iowa has gone about developing their pitchers?
I don't think it changed too much. I think over my 4 years, we had we had four different pitching coaches, but I think that it was able to stay somewhat constant. I think they were always doing the driveline care stuff. I'm not too familiar with that whole entire process, but I think that the people in charge, as the coaching staff, the one goal they had when they left or things were being transitioned to the next coach is that nothing changed too much. I think that they've always been doing the same activation. And I could be wrong on that, but it was great to watch over the 4 years.
Did how they use analytics change at all too over that 4 year process, and how they maybe integrated that into their player development?
Yeah, it definitely grew as time went on, as we had more stuff available and more projects being done. The first couple of years may not have been might not have much stuff, but I think the last year was critical. There was a lot of projects we were working on to help them during a bullpen. One project I'll mention in particular is finding where each pitcher's metrics are optimized. And then they had this information during a bullpen to sort of have a goal with each pitch. So for example, we had a guy with a low arm slot, not totally sidearm, but it wasn't a 3/4 per se. And we wanted to see where his horizontal movement on his fastball was optimized. So where was he getting the most swing misses? Where was he getting the weakest contact? And where was he getting the most strikes? And say that number was 14 inches of horizontal movement. That was going to be his goal during that bullpen, to shape that pitch that way.
Yeah, that's awesome. So building off of that, kind of walk me through, you know, what kind of like the, I think like the classroom settings that you had with the other managers, where it would be either you or Adam kind of taking the lead of, you know, talking certain concepts.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite times as a manager, was sitting in on those or presenting to other managers. Adam and I called him Adam Shuck. That is, he was the head manager this year for Iowa. And we called them mini camps. We had, I think, 8 of them, and those involved teaching codes, whether it was R, a little bit of SQL, or just even workshops in Excel, teaching the basics of pitch design and what the metrics meant. Or even we had a mini camp in how to work towards a career in baseball. So talking with front office executives, how to reshape your resume for the baseball industry, cover letters, and how to run your social media. It was awesome. I really hope our managers were able to take a lot away from that, because I did, for sure.
Because I mean, I remember seeing posts about it. I'm like, that's really cool, because, you know, I'm a big proponent of like building blocks in terms of, you know, I feel like I know in my case, I'll learn better when I'm teaching it, but then they'll also learn better because I kind of want them to be able to teach it back to me, or, you know, put it in their own words,
right,
by that, you know, way of thinking. So yeah, that's something that, you know, I found, you know, really interesting that the Iowa managers did. In terms of kind of college baseball analytics, we feel like it's not talked about enough, or it's not valued enough, you know, in the grand scheme of things. So if you have like any thoughts or ideas, what's something that you feel like could either take it to the next level or at least help it grow a little bit more?
That's a great question. I think and to help it grow more, just having more people like myself or like you involved in the game, continue to grow it on social media platforms, having coaches buy into the process and, you know, really take that to heart and encourage more people to join the program. encourage other programs to have more analytics departments. And I think we're seeing that across the country. A lot of programs are investing in their students on campus. And it's been great. I think the one difference between college baseball and pro baseball, not to say there's only one difference, there's a lot, but it's getting to work with that same group of players for 1 year at a time. So you have 35 guys, and that's not changing. Whereas in pro ball, there's a lot more players, and that changes from day to day sometimes. So I think in college baseball, each individual player's development is done pretty well. Whereas in pro ball, it can be misguided, you know, maybe due to too many cooks in the kitchen with too many coaches, too many coordinators, directors, front office executives, maybe not all having that same goal in mind for that player and that player not being bought into the process.
Yeah, that's really good because, you know, like you mentioned, you do have kind of this being able to have these players most of the time for 4 years. And then, like you also mentioned earlier, being able to have, you know, 4 years of TrackMan data of said people where you can see their progress from freshman year to senior year and see, you know, how much they've developed as a pitcher or hitter on that end. So my next question is, I wanted to talk about it during the analytics Zoom call that we had not too long ago, but didn't get around to it. But I'll ask you, what do you feel like is something that could be valued in terms of, you know, defensive analytics? Can we measure that at the college level? Can we figure out something to being able to, you know, not just with like positioning and spray charts, but being able to figure out, you know, can we do analytics on saying, let's say, you know, can we measure guys, how quickly they move to their left? How quickly do they move to their right? And then how many steps does it take for them to get to the ball, to get to a ball, you know, that's 10, you know, X amount of feet to either their left or right?
I don't think until we have the technology to measure that, that we'll be anywhere close to that. And that's unfortunate, but I do think that there's other ways that we can go about, you know, measuring game or measuring part of the game that doesn't involve the baseball. This isn't particularly defense, but idea that our pitching coach Robin Lund came to me with not too long ago was measuring speed. So maybe it's not in game, but you measure a player's 90-foot time. Say you have one guy that if we're talking about intervals of the 90-foot distance, and say for the first 30 feet, he's at this point, but the other player is at a different distance, even though that player is going to end up getting to the 90-foot threshold first. So maybe some players aren't good at accelerating as others, and some can't hit their top speed until a certain distance. And this can be true in stealing bases. And I think that's something that can be fixed on the strength and conditioning side, which I'm not too familiar with. Certain drills that can get a guy to accelerate quicker or get to his top speed quicker. And I think that was a pretty unique idea. If we're going back to sort of defensive position or statistics, an idea I had the other day was, and I'm not going to copyright this or anything, and if there's a company out there that can do this, I think that'd be awesome, to have a catcher wear some sort of sensor or sleeve or whatever in his catcher's mitt, and to sort of see what the XY coordinate of where he's setting up pre-pitch and see how that differs from where the pitch was delivered, sort of measure command or a pitcher's ability to hit a spot. I think that was something unique, and who knows how many years away we are from that. If you can measure or if you can put a sensor on a bat, maybe there's a way to put some sort of technology inside a catcher's glove.
Yeah, I think that would be really interesting, especially and totally doable with just putting like a little sensor, you know, and you could probably easily embed it in the back of the glove. I think it'd be interesting to, because one of the things I'm kind of curious even on that is like, okay, what's the transfer time to from like into glove to into the hand and then to out of the hand? That'd be interesting. I think it would be actually more interesting to see the glove work of guys who can get more strike calls versus those who don't. That might be interesting I think too, though, you know, pitchers don't always aim for the glove. So, you know, like I used to be a catcher, and sometimes I would set up, you know, I'd start my glove low because I knew he had a tendency to miss high. So I wasn't necessarily trying to get him to throw to my glove. Like I was trying to get him to bring it, put it right in the strike zone. So inevitably, and to like a lot of us sometimes have some pre-pitch movement to help make it easier to catch the ball. Especially if it does happen to the guy does happen to have a lot of movement. So it'd be interesting. I don't know how well it would be able to measure accuracy for the pitcher standpoint as much, but I definitely think it could be really useful to understand what are the different movement solutions that really elite catchers use. But I really do think that's a really great idea you have, Sam.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's a great point you made about catchers or pitchers not always going towards a glove. And it's definitely something that'll have to be
and
figured out.
Something that branching off that is, you know, can we have like, markerless trackers at college baseball where I don't know if they do that. I don't know if like it's allowed in college sports. I was told it was because they use it for some, you know, programs use it for soccer/football where they just basically put these trackers on these players and be able to measure heat maps and see like where they frequent. And, you know, going back to kind of like that defensive analytics idea, maybe that's something we can see. And then we can also see maybe like you brought up earlier, Sam, with kind of sprint speed-esque was maybe we can see with those markers, seeing how fast does a batter, you know, go from home to first at the college level. And then maybe we can reverse engineer that into a calculation like sprint speed.
Yeah, I think that's a great way around it. I think it probably isn't feasible to have Hawkeye install all the college baseball stadiums or have the Chiron Hego cameras from StatCast. So without those, I think we have to get creative. I think that's a great way around it to have those sensors on the players.
Oh, are you referring to Catapult, Robert?
GPS tracking? Believe so. Yeah, I believe so.
Is that what you're thinking?
Because, you know, there's some football and soccer programs, obviously they're not going to make it public, but as far as I know, they put like these trackers on or these GPS trackers on their players to be able to see like where they frequent on the field. And I mean, that's, you know, that's more applicable in those sports because they could be all over the field. But I think, you know, if you apply it to baseball mm-hmm. too, I think it'd be really, really cool because then you could definitely see, you know, you can kind of make these comparisons like, okay, how, you know, when we position player X here, where does he move? Where does he move well? And then you can, you know, in the future, better position players, understand, you know, with these players, where do they move and move well defensively in the field? And then again, going back to that sprint speed idea, kind of reverse engineer that with those markers to see, okay, if we kind of measure out the time, then we can see how quickly, you know, that player gets into their burst and then starts to accelerate.
Yeah, Blast has something a little bit like that. They just haven't really fully developed it. I'm sure, Sam, at Iowa, they use it for football and maybe some other sports. When I interned at the University of Minnesota, football, hockey were the two sports that used Catapult. I believe soccer also did a little bit too. I know for professional teams, some have used Catapult. I believe the Astros, I don't know if they still use it, but at one point in time, I got to believe they were using Catapult. It's really interesting because it'll also track G-forces and all of that. But I'm curious, Sam, did you guys ever look at any workload stuff, look at any injury prevention things or like model any predictions for injury and then like seeing like if you made changes to certain elements of your guys's program, whether that's workload or specific practice modalities that you would see an increase or decrease in injury rates?
Yeah, that's good stuff. I don't think that we were able to get into any of that. We did use the Modus sleeves. I think we've had them for a few years now. And more recently, been using them more to their potential. I don't do too much with them because I think that Modus's dashboard and the user friendliness of it, it's good enough for our pitching coach to use and the players to understand. Mm-hmm. So I don't get my hands too much on the Modus data just because there's no need to change what they're doing there. So we don't have too many projects tied around injury prevention, but I think maybe in the future that's something we'll have to do. Because I think that it's definitely a field of the game that's not tapped into too much yet.
So, Sam, we typically like to end the show in a certain way. So it'll kind of be a two-part question. The first part we'll talk about is kind of what's something that maybe an article, a book, or anything along those lines that you found interesting lately is the first question. Then secondly, if people were to kind of reach out to you to talk more with you, you know, what are some ways to reach out to you?
Yeah, I think lately I've been really focused on just learning more about machine learning. And so I'd be interested to see if you have any resources for me as well. There's a book I'm picking up soon. It's called, I think it's Be So Good They Can't Ignore You. And that's the thing I'm going to be diving in here soon. I also picked up Swing Kings the other day, and I'm a couple chapters in, and I'm enjoying it. I haven't done too much reading previous to that. Obviously, MVP Machine is fantastic. I'm also interested to pick up Future Value pretty soon here. And then as to reaching out to me, my Twitter is @Sam__Bornstein. And then, I think that's the best way to reach out to me.
Well, awesome. Thanks, Sam. I really appreciate you coming on to the podcast and talking baseball with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. I'm actually a frequent listener of Finding the Edge podcast, so it was really cool to have you guys reach out to me.
Yeah, sounds good. We really appreciate that.